Good morning. Board will come to order. This is the 1,334th meeting of the Board of Directors. Today is October 16th. We begin every meeting with public comment, and I understand we have one speaker today.
That is correct.
Please call the first speaker.
Mr. Michael Perkins, if you can come forward, please.
Good morning, Mr. Perkins.
Good morning, sir. Hi, my name is Michael Perkins. I live in Arlington. I ride the Orange Line twice a day. I write the blog on Postmark headquarters, and I also guest blog on Greater Washington. And I have a couple of things that I'd like to bring to the board's attention. I think that WMATA should embrace new technology that's being used to share transit information, schedule information, and route finding. For example, Google Transit, which is already being used at other major transit agencies throughout the United States, New York City, Chicago, BART, in San Francisco, and in Portland. In a June 2008 meeting lunch talk with John Cato, he mentioned that we're working on it, but that is pretty much what WMATA had been telling the riders about improvements to the Smart Trip program from 2003 onward. That Smart Trip program has been delayed yet again, and we are unlikely to see any improvements to the program until 2010. I think I speak for a lot of riders when I say, with respect to Google Transit, that you're working on it, we don't believe you. I submitted a park request for information about Google Transit. That park request has been delayed due primarily to staffing levels. I believe that the staff levels for responding to park requests should be increased so that they can actually respond to those park requests within the policy guideline of 20 days. I also believe that additional information, for example, ridership information for specific bus lines would be of great interest to the ridership as a whole and should be published under the park website location for documents of proposed public interest. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. I'll try to get answers to some of your questions. I would say one thing that I'm fairly certain you're not correct about, and that has to do with improvements to the Smart Trip program. There are a number of improvements that are coming in the next few months, and although they, they've been discussed, we might want to make that clear again, because I do think there was a newspaper story that made it sound as if nothing was happening, when, in fact, a number of significant improvements are underway now, and Mr. Cato may wish to address that. With respect to Google, that is something I understand is under negotiation now. Perhaps Mr. Cato would like to address that. Mr. Perkins, you can take your seat and listen to us. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yes, we do have some specifics on the smart chip cards, and I'd like to bring that back to you, though, in the report, information report to the board on all the details. Concerning Google, we are in negotiations with them. There's some issues that we're working through. And it's taking a little bit longer from that perspective than I would have thought. But there are some legal agreements that have to be clarified and understood before we can move forward with the system. But we are working on it.
And I believe we've seen in the last month or so a table showing various improvements to Smart Trip, some of which are underway that are coming later this year.
Yeah, so we are moving forward with the abilities to give our customers additional options with Smart Trip. But again, just to make sure, I had a meeting yesterday, and I would like to go into a more detailed presentation on that so the public understands when and what, and it's clear what they will be able to use the card for. And it's an information item next month.
Probably at the customer service and operations committee.
Yes.
Very good. And also, since we have Mr. Perkins' name and address, we could just mail him the information as well, so at least it could go directly to him.
Yes, we can do that.
Very good. Any questions? Thank you. Our next item is the agenda, and there is at least one addition I know of. Mr. Cato, you're asking for an item regarding direction to negotiate on the future capital improvement program.
What we're asking for in the future capital improvement program is just the a resolution that the board, as it has in the past, all the jurisdictions are committed to keeping Metro and a state of good repair for safe and reliable operations.
Okay, this is the one that's, the board report says development of capital needs inventory, and there's a resolution on it that says, I think perhaps misleadingly, second Metro Matters funding agreement.
Well, that is.
I'm really not looking to discuss the item now, I'm just looking at where to put it on the agenda.
Yes.
So why don't we take it up under the general manager's report?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to add that as an item, call it C, under report by general manager, if there's no objection. It's, again, it'll be presented, but it's a request for a, it's a blue sheet in front of all board members, in front of you, it's a resolution. And with that, I don't know, are there any other changes to the agenda I should be finding? I don't think so. So, if there's no objections, then we'll accept the agenda. It came off at the committee level.
Oh, so it doesn't survive the committee level.
There were maybe a couple items here that were on the agenda because they were in committee but didn't come through the committee and therefore obviously won't. We can note those, I think, at the time of the committee report, though. All right, so with that, if there's no objection, the agenda is accepted as described, and we can move to the minutes of, we have two sets of minutes, the September 25th meeting and the special meeting of October 2nd. They've been previously distributed. What's your pleasure?
Move
approval of both sets of minutes as presented, seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Minutes are accepted. Next item is the report of the Writers Advisory Council. Ms. Iacomini.
Good morning, Mr. Zimmerman and members of the board. While I usually discuss all the presentations that RAC and its subcommittees have received in the month, today I want to focus on what the RAC has felt is probably the most important issue we've discussed this year, and it's already been mentioned here, and that's Smart Trip and the elimination of paper transfers. RAC very much appreciates the board's attention to this subject, and especially the thoughtful discussion of the issues concerning this transition that you all had at the October Customer Service Operations and Safety meeting. The board has expressed its clear direction that Metro remain focused on the needs of its customers when making such a far-reaching change as the elimination of paper transfers. And I'm thinking the relevant staff here at WMATA are figuring out what is and isn't possible when it comes to Smart Trip capabilities and the companion issue of eliminating the use of paper transfers as of January 4, 2009. RAC really does believe that the riding public, especially vulnerable populations like riders with disabilities, elderly, low-income riders, limited English proficient riders, will be caught unaware of the changes and that they do not understand all the implications of the changes and are not going to be able to make a graceful change to Smart Trip. We're concerned the premature elimination of the traditional paper transfers will undermine much of the hard work that you all, staff here at WMATA and the Riders Advisory Council have done in recent years to improve communications and relations with the riding public. As a follow-on to the Council's discussion with Ms. Wilson at our September meeting, the head of Metro's Smart Trip Office and the representative from the Treasurer's Office attended RAC's October meeting. I myself was unable to be at that meeting for work reasons, but have been apprised of the passionate discussion that was had by those who did attend. The discussion is outlined in detail in my written report to you. I only have time here to hit a few of the major points. It was said that the public is still not well informed of the impending changes to the current fare media. While we know that Ms. Wilson said that they are planning a very broad advertising campaign, RAC has not heard the details of this plan, but we hope that it includes things some real people-to-people contact, like having WMATA ambassadors at rail stations and major bus stops talking about Smart Trip and the elimination of paper transfers. They should have the brochures that RAC recommended to Ms. Wilson in September and that she spoke of at the customer service meeting. Engage in promotional activities, including the distribution of some free Smart Trip cards at various local festivals or events. I think way back in my life, having ridden Metro for 28 years, that this is one of the ways that Smart Trip was first introduced. Perhaps some of the as yet undistributed free cards could be used for this purpose. Consider offering, at least at first, the incentive of some additional value on a Smart Trip card. WMATA did do this in years past with both paper fare cards and Smart Trip. You know, for instance, for every $10 of value loaded on a card, the holder would get an additional 10 cents. This would be a carrot. You know, right now we only have the stick of the fact that you're going to lose the value of a transfer if you don't have a Smart Trip card. It would be good to have a positive side to advertise as well as a negative side. But, you know, we all understand that it's a day of tight revenues, and we know that this could be an expense. RAP is concerned that known delays and technological improvements to Smart Trip will create hardship for certain riders. Our understanding was the buses in PG County were not going to get Smart Trip boxes until the Columbus Day weekend. We certainly hope that happened. But this means they're going to have only 3 months to get used to that technology, while there are other jurisdictions that have had Smart Trip for quite a while. The Senior Smart Trip program is new, and senior riders have had little time to adapt to the new system. Not being able to get a paper transfer and not using Smart Trip will almost double an elderly rider's fare when transferring from rail to bus, about 35 cents to 60 cents. And we know and we've heard that Smart Trip does not accommodate passes, and there's lots of folks who use and like passes for their various assortment of rides using public transit. It was reported that it's by mid-2009 that Smart Trip cards will carry passes. Staff had no suggestions as to how pass holders should proceed with transfers between the January 4th, 2009 sort of target date until they fix the machines. Clearly, the ability to use the passes needs to start when paper transfers are eliminated, whenever that will be. RAP is concerned that access to Smart Trip cards and equipment is limited. They are available, as we know, at certain vending machines at rail stations with parking lots. They're not right by bus stops. And I know that staff is working with a lot of purveyors, such as Giant Food, and we hope it's Safeway and CVS, all the things that when we get off a bus, we see around us. Also, options for adding fares are limited. We worry very much about crowding on buses when people are trying to use that venue to add value to their Smart Trip card whenever they can. WMATA staff has, of course, suggested that riders can use fare machines at rail stations. But again, if you're taking the bus and don't generally use a rail station, that's not going to work out real well. We need to have them much more available. I think we all understand, and we're all supportive of Smart Trip, and we all understand the benefit the elimination of paper can have for everyone. We just want to encourage the board to continue to work on the issue with staff and to think of the best solution for our riders. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Iacomini. Appreciate that. Those comments are, I think, right on point with the presentation we're going to be getting on Smart Trip in the near future. And I trust, Mr. Cato, that the specific items identified in the report from the Writers' Council can be incorporated into that. And we'll get staff reaction to each of them, because I know the board will be interested to hear how staff reacts to those various proposals and how you seek to address those matters. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Grant.
I just want to add, if I may, since this matter is before our committee, that how much I appreciate this thoughtful and detailed presentation, because I think we now have in, what is it, 5 pages, you know, an excellent summation, detailed summation of what the issues are. And I want to echo your comments, Mr. Zimmerman, and we have a presentation on this scheduled for our committee, I think. And we're going to hear about Prince George's County specifically. Pardon me?
Which is Prince George's, not PG,
I said Prince
George's. George.
I know he did.
Oh, I said Prince George's because I learned how to say that some years ago, Prince George's. And I remember the board member who taught me. But anyway, this is really extremely helpful. And we really do want this to become the basis for our subsequent consideration of this issue. And I mean that very sincerely. It's excellent.
Thank you.
All right. In the interest of time, I'm going to abridge my remarks, but I just want to note two things. Since we last met, I was able to join Mr. Linton and Mr. McKay, along with Mr. Cato and a number of senior members of staff here at the annual meeting of the American Public Transportation Association last week. And just to mention a number of noteworthy things, probably the most significant action was the approval by the Board of Directors of the AFTA position on what most people would call reauthorization of transportation funding legislation. A lot of my friends working on this are encouraging the use of the term authorization rather than reauthorization, because it is anticipated that this is going to be a different bill than some recent ones, and really take a different approach. And that is really, in many ways, the thrust of the AFTA position. Mr. Benjamin, who was not able to go, had actually been our principal person working on this on the, is it the Legislative Committee? And had helped to craft something that I think is very good for the public transportation industry nationally, but is specifically good for WMATA, meaning that, you know, if the approach that is being recommended is adopted in ultimate legislation, I think it will be very good for transit generally, and specifically here in the nation's capital. And APTA does tend to be fairly influential in the discussion over those aspects of transportation legislation. So I think that was a good outcome for us, and I thank Mr. Benjamin for his work in leading up to that. There are a number of other very relevant, interesting things, and you may want to talk with Mr. Linton and Mr. McKay as well, but I'll just note one. Mr. McKay and Mr. Monome and I were able to get a tour of I-15 highway in the, this was in San Diego where the conference took place, in which they have implemented something that is being talked about here, well, that's actually in its way to being implemented here, I guess, which is to say hot lanes, where you know, we have HOV, they have a former HOV facility that has become a hot lane and is now being expanded, and is intended to incorporate a BRT service as well. So it's intended to incorporate transit as well as, you know, single occupancy toll-paying vehicles and HOV toll-free vehicles. So, you know, there are definitely a lot of issues, and some of the issues there are different than here. Nonetheless, there was a, there were some, I think, significant lessons. It was useful for us to be able to see something like this. One of the things I noted, that all along the highway there, they have the right shoulder lane designated for authorized buses to use, so that when traffic is, you know, really tight, the buses are able to move through it by using the exclusive lane that is provided in the shoulder. This is much like what I have described in Minneapolis, where they've done 250 miles of this, and that I talked about earlier this year. We, of course, have one example of that in our region, which I got the benefit of on my way home, because I flew into Dulles, and I took the 5A, which is the Metro bus service that runs from Dulles Airport, and it comes in the Dulles Road, and the one place that I know of that we have, at least on the Virginia side, is on the Dulles Road coming in toward 66. And indeed, I came in, it was rush hour, traffic was all tied up, and the only place I know of in the region I can do this, I got to be on the bus going past the traffic that was tied up on my way until I got to 66, when that lane no longer exists. So it's a good illustration of how that can work. And in fact, we had a very full bus of passengers. It was every last seat. I think there was one seat left when we left Dulles, and we got to Herndon Monroe, where it makes a stop. One person got on, and that was fortunate. And all of us in our luggage then made our way into Roslyn, and in what was actually a pretty good time. But again, you know, I think the lessons here are, if we provide a service that is reliable, people will use it. And I think we'll be coming back to that apropos of our discussion this morning in committee. That concludes my remarks, and I will go to the general manager. And again, Mr. Manager, you have your normal report, and you're also going to bring to us that other request that we talked about.
Yes, I will, Mr. Chairman, and I will, too,
I'm
shorten
sorry,
my
Mr. Kedrick, just spent, was there a question?
Just one small one, comment. I just wanted to, a very interesting comment I got on the floor at the APTA conference, where there were several people that approached me fairly hostile with the idea that we at WMATA, our $1.5 billion was included in the $700 billion bailout, and that they were, in fact, paying for our system. So it's interesting how misinformation often takes a place of itself.
We wish they were right. I mean, we wish that was true.
Were they from Oklahoma?
But they were actually several people, not one, but there were several people that actually approached me with that in mind.
Yeah, we did have to keep explaining to people, that we have not actually received any funding We have a long way to go before we might even get a dollar. But, yeah, there was some misunderstanding about that, and the timing of the passage of the Amtrak bill, along with the $700 million bailout bill, I suppose, was in that sense unfortunate. Any other comments? Ms. Gato.
Just to add to that, I made no apologies to people who came up and made those comments to me. good morning, Board, and I will have a shorter presentation today also. But this morning I want to start talking about the operating budget for 2010. Over the next 2 months in December, I will present a balanced 2010 budget to you for consideration. The nation and the region, all of us know, are facing tough economic times, and we are not immune from that here at Metro. Local and state governments, who pay for about 40% of the operating budget annually, have told us that they are in very tight financial times, and in fact, every day you read about additional cutbacks within Maryland, Virginia, and also the District of Columbia. And they have also had discussions with us that any increase in subsidies is probably not affordable in the upcoming year. And while we're still having discussions with them, I feel the time to move and reduce our expenditures is now. And as a result of the increased energy, pension, and labor costs that we expect to incur in 2010, I realize that if we maintain the current operating subsidies that local governments pay, we need to tighten our belt. We have no plans, and the budget that I will bring to you will not include a fare increase. Yet given the economic situation, we are beginning to curtail our spending in the 2009 budget. We need to gain efficiencies in our operations. So last month I directed managers to cut expenditures in such areas as office supplies, business travel, consultants, and services that are not related to the safe and reliable operation of the system. Also, all positions that were vacant, administrative positions that were vacant for 6 months, have been eliminated. In addition, we're doing a top-down look at the organization, looking for ways to trim expenses that are not critical to maintaining safety and reliable services, and we're looking for additional ways to generate revenues. I believe in these tight budget times, we must take the opportunity to take this organization to the next step in its transition from a construction agency to an operation agency by looking for ways to gain efficiencies in our operations. I believe these efforts will move Metro forward in the upcoming year with the budget for 2010, and we will have a more steady, sustainable cost model without jeopardizing the goal of being the best ride in the nation. So, Mr. Chairman, that really concludes my remarks. The resolution that we're bringing to you, we have retitled, and the title really should be the Capital Needs Inventory for 2011 through 2020. And I'm asking that Nat Ballingheimer just give you a brief overview of that resolution.
And this is what is before members as a blue item. It says on the top, administrative item number 4, but that's not where we're doing it, obviously.
Right.
And the board action information summary says development of capital needs inventory 2011 through 2020. And the second piece of paper is the resolution.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Bodegon.
This is really just a formalization of the direction that we told you we would be going in at the end of the information item we presented you last month. When we presented the 2011 to 2020 capital needs inventory, I mean, the key language here basically recognizes that the Metro Matters funding agreement will be expiring, and we need to replace that in, by July 1st, 2010. And the language here has you directing us to take all necessary actions to develop a prioritized capital needs inventory, and to work with our funding partners to develop a successor agreement to the Metro Matters funding agreement for approval no later than July 1st, 2010, to address our state of good repair needs, which includes the performance category in the capital needs inventory that we presented to you, as well as the demand needs and also the customer-focused needs. That is the framework of this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Graham.
I move the resolution.
Second. A discussion. Mr. Ventura.
This is an issue I've raised before, and I want to make sure that staff really does want to do what it says it's going to do, and that is you don't need to negotiate a successor agreement to Metro Matters. And in so doing, you might constrain yourselves to the very same problems you found with the existing Metro Matters agreement. Would you prefer at this point to be silent on that issue, explore it further, and determine as you move further whether that's necessary and desirable?
General Counsel may also want to comment on this, but I think the language stating a successor agreement does not constrain the successor agreement to the exact same format as the Metro Matters agreement. I think it.
I understand, but you may not need any agreement. So the question I'm asking is, are you insisting that you absolutely, would you want us to really instruct you that you must have an agreement, or do you want to decide that as you go?
You could use the term successor funding arrangement if you would prefer that.
That would work.
I mean, that's, I think that works too. In the past, I mean, there have been agreements on most of the major capital needs over time. I mean, there were several of them before this. They didn't have needs like Metro Matters.
Actually so. Not. There were agreements on the construction of the rail system, mm-hmm. but for the capital program itself, this was the very first one that was ever put in place with the local jurisdictions on how the capital program would be operated and funded.
Well, I thought the main difference, though, was the objects of expenditure. What we were buying was not, you know, new rail lines. Mostly it was rail cars
but
and all
was,
other
there
stuff.
Was never, there was never a formal agreement signed by the jurisdictions, except the ICCAs, which were,
well,
only, which were only for construction, not for the,
right.
the other capital program.
They were the big bulk of the capital program in those years.
Right.
And by the time we got to this, we weren't doing that, but we were now refurbishing the system and buying lots of new rail cars, which was then of an order of magnitude that ICCAs had previously covered. That's just the way I looked at it.
I question whether it's in the interest of the authority to have that agreement.
Okay, well, that certainly will be a fair thing to discuss at the time. At this point, we simply want the general manager to go forward, prepare what it is we need, and proposals for how to deal with it. So, you know, if people would be, if it's more wide open to say successor funding arrangement or something like that, mm-hmm. that leaves open the question, and I don't see a problem with that. So if there's unanimous consent, we'll amend the resolution accordingly.
Aye.
Okay, everybody understands what that change is. Any other discussion, comments, questions? If not, the question is on approval of the resolution as amended. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Gerald Francis now will introduce the employee of the month.
Mr. Chairman, if I can have you and Mr. Cato come to the center, I'd like to also have join you, our employee spotlight employee, train operator, Mr. Anthony Barkley. Anthony, if you can come on down and join the chairman and the general manager. On July the 23rd at 9:50 a.m., Operator Barkley was operating a train on the Red Line between Silver Springs and Shady Grove. As he approached the red signal at Tacoma, he contacted the Operation Control Center to receive instructions. He was told to block the switches and upon that, reboard his train and proceed on. When he completed the task, he was given permission to pass the red signal, but Operator Barkley did so carefully and slowly. His lead wheels passed a section of track smoothly, but he felt a jolt as the second set of wheels crossed the same spot. He brought the train to an immediate stop and once again contacted the Operation Control Center. He was instructed to inspect the track. When he did, he found a 2-foot section of cracked rail underneath his lead car. Thanks to Operator Barkley's skills as a train operator, a serious incident was averted. Had he continued moving the train, it could have been possibly derailed, causing injuries to customers that were aboard the train. Operator Barkley noticed something out of the ordinary and stopped operations immediately. This is a demonstration of safety first, and for that reason, Mr. Barkley was chosen as our spotlight employee. So does everybody please join me in recognizing and acknowledging Operator Barkley.
Thank you, Mr. Francis. Does that conclude your report, Mr.
That concludes my report, sir.
Thank you. That will take us to committee reports, to begin with the Customer Service and Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Grant.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased on behalf of the committee to provide a report on our meeting of October 2, 2008. We had one action item, which was to authorize a public hearing to discontinue non-regional Metro bus routes 2W12A-S and 20F-Y in Fairfax County. Mr. Hughes sought to obtain the concurrence of the committee and the board of directors on that issue, and I move approval.
Is there a second?
A second, and I'd like to make a second.
Seconded by Ms. Hudgens. Ms. Hudgens.
This is an item that's moving forward, and I just want the clarity here in the motion that this service will continue through the end of June. Fairfax County has already agreed to that.
Is that not now clear?
The resolution may not.
The resolution, I think, is silent.
It is silent.
I mean, the resolution only authorizes the hearing, doesn't it?
Right. Well, it says, wait a minute, there is...
It refers to...
But the resolution indicates that the budget assumes this Metro bus service discontinuance will occur as of the beginning of April 2009, which suggests that would be earlier than the date of June. And that's a budget issue.
Thanks.
Am I right, Mr. Cato?
Yes. So, Mr. Chair, if I... I did receive a letter from Fairfax County yesterday afternoon requesting that we extend the time period for these changes, and we've not had the opportunity to add that to this presentation this morning. But we do need to make those slight amendments. But other than that, the information that's provided here is straightforward.
So are you saying those can be made and will be made and aren't affected by within the budget? Or?
Yes, they will be within the budget.
Okay. So that's noted then.
Well, but that raises a question. I mean, the summary that I have indicates that the budget itself would compel the discontinuance as of April 2009. If we're going to operate this for an additional period of months, where is the money coming from?
That would have to come to, would come from Fairfax County.
I have not seen your letter, but I will tell you, Mr. General Manager, Fairfax County is prepared to pay through the June time frame the subsidy.
So the additional time would be reimbursable service, and the right. jurisdiction would be paying.
Right. Okay. The funding is included in the letter. I understand.
Does that answer the question, Mr. Graham?
I think it does, but we should have...
That is the point.
Can we note it for the record?
We can note it for the record because none of this is in the resolution itself. All of this is in the description of the action.
And it's probably more specificity than you need in the resolution, but that's noting right. it for the record here is...
Yes.
Okay, good. So we can move on.
Further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Let me do that again. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
In addition, we had information items. Mr. Francis provided the committee with a briefing on the FY09 year-to-date operational performance indicators. Our Chief Taborn briefed the committee on types of Part 1 crimes and quantity per calendar year for the past 5 years, and the top 10 stations by jurisdiction experiencing high crime in the context of our very low crime situation at Metro. We also were provided the number of positions that have authority to make arrests and the number of arrests made during 2008. Mr. Keel, is that correct, Mr. Keeley?
Mr. Keel.
Mr. Keel, thank you. Provided an update of the safety performance data that occurred in July and August in the areas of derailment, fires, rail, bus, passenger industries, et cetera. Mr. Kent briefed the committee on the potential cost and operational impact to Metro Access Service as a result of recent reductions of the district's Medicaid transportation budget and subsequent shift of Medicaid recipients onto Metro Access. And we're due a follow-up report on that, because I think we found that there was a lot of common ground on this issue. And we had an update on actions taken by staff to implement the elimination of paper transfers, but again, there'll be much more said on that at the next meeting. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. A report of the Planning, Development, Real Estate Committee, Mrs. Hudgens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Planning, Development, Real Estate Committee met this morning, and there was, from its executive session, we had a deferral on the action regarding the Bethesda Station. There was an action item, and the action item was the Priority Corridor Network report. Staff requested that the committee accept the Metrobus Priority Corridor Network, a list of corridors and near-term schedule for project planning of the Metrobus service adjustments and the Metro Extra service additions and coordinated capital investment programs by the jurisdictional stakeholders. Staff will return to the board with a new briefing in January 09, identifying the associated infrastructure improvements to be implemented by both Metro and the jurisdictions in connection with the corridor, prior to corridors, as well as the benefits of going forward with the priority corridor, identifying the increased ridership and capacity reductions in the congestion and improvements and air quality. Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the resolution, and it is the new a new resolution that's attached.
The blue item.
Blue item in your folder.
Motion by yourself on behalf of the committee. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion. Let me note a couple of things. The number of changes that were asked for in committee appear to have been made. There, with some of the new language, though, let me point to the third from last resolve clause, or second resolve clause. Board of Directors direct staff to identify the benefits of going forward with each priority corridor, specifically identifying, it says, the increased ridership capacity for both modern and parallel providers, reductions in congestion and improvements in air quality. I wonder whether we should include some language that says something like, for example, so that it isn't subsequently interpreted as those are the only things. Those are things we happen to identify that we want them to look at. But if they think of other things that are relevant, or we have other things that look to be relevant criteria in making decisions, I don't know that we'd want this to be looked at as the only thing. Ms. Hudgens.
That would be acceptable, because as I looked at this, I wanted to make sure that we've captured the concept that Mr. Linton equally. I think it says it generally, but it would be just an example in order to make sure that it's comprehensive.
So my suggestion would be, after the word identifying, to insert comma, for example.
Yes.
So all those things are still included, but, you know, it doesn't mean you can't discover there's something else that's really important.
That will be general enough.
If there's no objection, then I'll ask unanimous consent to incorporate that. Being no objection, that's amended. On the last next to last, the Board of Directors accepts the Metrobus Priority Corridor Network Plan, list of corridors, and schedule for near-term planning dated October 16, 2008, with the understanding that staff will provide the Board with a new briefing in January 2009 responding to the Board's direction. Is our understanding just that they're going to provide a briefing, or that they're going to bring us a plan that could be subject to approval?
I think the briefing includes both.
Well, I think it was intended to include both,
yes.
But I wonder whether we don't want to say a new briefing and a plan for approval.
I would accept that as a clarification.
I mean, I propose that. Is there
I'd accept that as a clarification if there are no objections.
No objection. So then we'd insert those words. Mm-hmm. Without objection, the motion is amended. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think we also share the I think that what is good about what is happening here, and that this is really a very important, I think, action for us in terms of looking forward to corridors. Having experienced the Dulles Corridor bus rapid transit service, we have increased to nearly 20,000 riders in that corridor, waiting greatly for rail, but also serving the public, as you noted, just as the experience of the 5A has in trying to move people. So this is an example of us being able to improve the transit service throughout our overall system, and really is a complement to the rail service that we have. So I think the overall plans that we see coming forward for these corridors really should be an opportunity for the community and customers to see the increased and improved ridership using bus as a critical element of our system now, rather than as we've seen it up to now.
Well said. All right, questions on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously.
The other items that the committee addressed was the executive session area item for the Shaw Howard University Station was deferred, as well as the relocation of the WMATA item for the WMATA headquarters. And that is the entirety of the report.
Thank you, Ms. Hudgens. That will take us to administrative actions. There are three. The first is the approval to initiate an award, a sole source contract for 6,000 series truck and bolster. Mr. Benjamin.
I move the approval of all three administrative items on block.
All right. There's a motion to move all three on block. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Graham. If anyone wants any item removed, now would be the time.
No.
If not, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. The administrative actions are approved as presented. That will take us to jurisdictional reports. D.C., Mr. Graham.
Mr. Chairman, I have only to announce that our vacant board seat will be filled in all likelihood next Tuesday when the council will appoint Neil Albert, the Deputy Mayor for Economic Development, to this seat. And so we anticipate that our next meeting, which will occur after the election, we will be back to our full complement of D.C. members.
Very good. Maryland, Mr. Linton.
Nothing to report, Mr. Chairman.
All right. That will take us to Virginia. Mrs. Hudgens.
I have only one thing to comment on, and that is that Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Francis joined Fairfax County on its opening of its Public Safety Transportation and Operations Center, PSOC. And it is a very important element in our overall coordination and operation of security transportation for the region. But it's also, while we opened the center last Friday, it has an element that is an important part of our metro coordination with the jurisdiction, and that is the bus garage that will occur. While it was not open at the time, we look forward to probably having everyone back in March, in which we will have the bus piece as part of it. And this is a very important, I think, coordination issue that can occur in the region, and I think a very good and important example of really how the jurisdictions as well as the regional bodies can work in terms of both transportation and security. So glad to see everybody there.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudgens. That it was a very interesting event. I was pleased to be able to represent WMATA at that opening. It's a remarkable facility, really complex of facilities, remarkable not only in the capacity of what can be done there, but also with the number of agencies of different governments, different levels of government. You have local, regional, state government all cooperating there with everything from emergency operations to forensic labs and that kind of thing, but also in separate facilities. The new, soon-to-be-opened, the soon-to-be-completed bus facility that is going to serve both WMATA and Fairfax Connector. And this is, you know, what I think one of the more successful initiatives of recent years coming from this agency, where we partnered with the local government and we are creating a facility that's going to allow us to better serve customers in an area that's been expanding and, you know, needing more service, but also to replace an old aging facility that has been very constrained and had no room to grow. will, from the day it opens, have space for about, what, 20% more, 25% more Metro buses than we currently have in the facilities replacing. But there'll also be the Fairfax connector buses. So we have about 100 Metro buses, 75 connector buses, with the possibility to expand to over 300. I got a tour of that facility, and it is most impressive in a number of features in terms of the way it's handling things like even spare parts. The way there's now an automated system that will contain spare parts, I think 120,000 pounds of spare parts can be contained in something where you basically dial into the computer and it brings down the part you need. And that means that, you know, if the technician doing this broke his pencil and, you know, you don't have to worry about not filling out the paperwork because it's already, you know, electronically logged what's coming out of inventory and when. And that's an example. But everything is done in parallel fashion. So there's a Metro facility, Fairfax connector facility, and then, you know, some areas used in common. It was it is really most impressive, and I think that when it opens next year, it's going to help enhance our ability to provide good quality service to the customers. Anything further? Now, we're going to go back into closed session. The motion we passed earlier is still in force. We will then come down afterwards to certify the closed session. And if there should be any actions necessary, we'll act on them at that time before we adjourn for the day. So that concludes our public meeting, and we're in closed session. Thank you.